time. Oh, for armed robbery. Four in the morning, I was sitting in my cell. I heard a whistle blow, then I heard somebody yell.
There's a riot going on.
Welcome, my friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Sam Kennedy. Tonight is Sunday, April 6th, 2008, and thank you for joining me. I suspect that much of tonight will be going to the phones, my friends, because it's been very, very busy around here in preparation for the Law Merchant Leadership Retreat. And I have not prepared any special material. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't be getting into topics of interest. I can guarantee you we will. In fact, there's one topic I did not have to prepare that will take up a good portion of the show, a letter I'd like to share with you, which has much to do with the way we approach the various situations and conditions in which we find ourselves. And frankly, it's about the best letter I can recall ever being sent in a case at any time. It's clever. It's beautifully written. It is clever in the sense that it states the various conditions of patriotism in such a manner that they're intuitively obvious even to someone who has virtually no knowledge of the real law. In this case, it's a letter that was written to a state senator, and I'm sure, absolutely sure, you're going to find it to be fascinating. I know I did when I read it. Before we do, just a couple of brief announcements. As you know, if you need a notary, I've been suggesting that you would want to contact Notary Depot, D-E-P-O-T, at hush.com, and I continue that suggestion. You'll be able to find a competent commercial notary who should be able to help you with various administrative processes. The phone number tonight, my friends, for your calls is 1-800-313-9443, so I suggest you get on the phones early because we will go there early. The Law Merchant Leadership Retreat scheduled for April 24th through the 28th is filled and has been for well over a week. That means that we have filled each seat. We've handled the cancellations that were due by March 31st. And we've reassigned those seats, although another cancellation came in this morning, so, excuse me, so that, of course, is immediately reassigned, and I don't know how that has been handled. I'm not handling it. I'm sort of being kept at a safe distance so I don't mingle and impose my will on people who have been working very hard. The good news is, number one, we're caught up in all the orders as far as I know. Number two, the box, the email address known as The Retreat, is now open again. The Retreat at hush.com is now open again. It was so bogged down that maybe for 4 or 5 days, if not longer, it had no room for incoming email. So we resorted to some site email accounts. And number three, another Law Merchant Retreat is being scheduled as we speak. We'll discuss that when I return in just a minute.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Reports are coming in from all over North America about wild MPG.
My 97 Honda Civic went from just over 31 miles per gallon to over 50 miles per gallon.
My 98 Plymouth Breeze went from just over 38 miles per gallon to over 77 miles per gallon.
My 95 Ford F-150 went from 12.7 miles per gallon to 33 miles per gallon.
It's not a hybrid.
It's not an electric.
Wild MPG is an inexpensive modification that gives you incredible savings, a cleaner engine, better performance, more horsepower, less dependence on foreign oil, and better gas mileage.
Far better gas mileage.
Find out more at wildmpg.com.
Wild MPG means more money in your pocket.
The Wild MPG kit is absolutely guaranteed to increase your gas mileage by at least 50%, or the cost of the kit will be refunded to you. Visit wildmpg.com.
WildMPG.com.
Welcome to the revolution in fuel economy technology. WildMPG.com.
Looked up lately? Have you seen those crisscross trails that hang in the atmosphere long after a plane has passed over? Some are chemtrails, and they may be causing your health problems. It's a fact. Various governments, including the U.S., have been spraying chemicals in our upper atmosphere for years. Chemtrails is a very real cause of many health problems, like pain, respiratory, or immune deficiencies that appear seemingly out of nowhere. But now, your chronic illness can be helped. Introducing ChemBuster. ChemBuster is a natural remedy designed to combat and break through health problems caused by chemtrails. ChemBuster.us has more information and a special internet-only offer of just $17 per bottle. That's ChemBuster.us. Try ChemBuster yourself. Recommend to your sick friends and relatives, and after saving $2 on your first bottle, you'll save an additional $7 on your second bottle. Visit ChemBuster.us for important information and a special internet-only offer. That's ChemBuster.us.
Welcome back, my friends. Thanks for staying with us. As I was saying before the break, the retreat is filled. Orders are caught up. I understand Sharon at Rescue Team was out for a couple of weeks with flu and then walking pneumonia, he said as he choked. And so we were all under a great deal of stress, along with all the other situations of life and the crises that we face through those we love. Yeah, but all of that is taken care of. My apologies that the email address, theretreat@hush.com, was filled. But it was just as well because we didn't need any more applications. We already had dozens of applications on our standby list with the March 31st deadline to put up or shut up, secure your seat, or it has to go to someone who's in crisis or who is a committed pay-it-forward future registered mentor. So all of the seats have been filled at this point, and it is standing room only. Now, the good news is, as a matter of conscience, we have scheduled a meeting for some... Well, let me rephrase that. We are scheduling a meeting for some time in the future, probably the middle of June. We had some dates in mind, but that's actually in flux. So let me apologize if there's anyone who sent in an application and did not receive a response from us. You are probably in the situation where we have you on our standby list hoping for a cancellation for this meeting. All of those who we felt on the standby list were more appropriately scheduled for the next meeting, such as someone who said, I have no experience in commerce. All right, then take a couple more months and gain the experience. Do the reading, do the studying. People in that situation, they were ported over to the next meeting automatically, and they were sent an email advising them that applications would be considered as of the 1st of May. So if you did not receive a response, it's because we are still hoping for a cancellation off of that standby list, or we screwed up and you have my sincere apologies. We've tried not to, but there is a lot of quote-unquote business attending a conference like this, people changing their minds, people recommending friends, no responses to emails, attachments being stripped, you know, all the normal stuff. And I've tried to stay out of as much of the process as possible to keep it as blind as possible to my knowledge of people and let the volunteers do their work in screening and reviewing those applications. So thank you all for putting up with all of the procedures that were inherent in filling this seminar room with people who give every indication of being determined to pay it forward as competent registered mentors, and with people who are in dire need of crisis. Now, as an example, there was one fellow we notified we might be able to squeeze in, but he would have to sit on the floor. Imagine that. I don't know what the outcome of that was. I have no idea what his response or their response was. But that's how tight it is. There really is no wiggle room whatsoever. So thank you for the outpouring of support for this and for all of the applications and for your candor in your applications. Also to those who were not registered with the applications, were not favorably reviewed, again, I stress, please don't take it personally. If there was any doubt whatsoever, especially about commercial leanings, then the volunteers were under one very strict order: err on the side of lower risk. We would prefer not to make an error. We would rather have someone not attend than and miss a good person than have someone attend and take the material and set up a website and start selling people technology for $5,000 or $10,000. That was one of the primary criteria, and my apologies if you fell under that particular axe. We really have no choice because that responsibility has been imposed upon us by the dishonorable behavior of various parties who attended previous seminars. I have no choice. This technology is very, very potent. But you do have my apologies, and I certainly understand how you might feel. Also, if there was a question that was posed to you, or your application was not favorably reviewed and you responded with a scathing attack on the people, then you weren't given a second look. Whereas if you responded, hey, Laura or Sam or Brian or whatever, could you help me out on this? This happened, that happened, I was out of town. And then, of course, we bent over backwards to try and find some avenue and move you to the head of the list or something like that. So a lot of this really depended upon your reactions. You really determined whether these applications were favorably or unfavorably reviewed. So I thank you for your participation. Now, many of you have heard me mention in the past on the program that I suggest if you need education in BIC or a good mentor, that you might consider sending an email to BICStudyClub@msn.com. And some of you probably think I have an affiliation with them, and I don't. And I've stated that I don't. I don't have an affiliation with anyone that I have recommendation other than believing in their sincerity, honesty, and capability. But let me read you an email that was composed by a party that I believe is sort of the leadership of that little organization known as Hope Source. Hope Source at BIC Study Club, excuse me, the email address is bicstudyclub@msn.com. And I think it will be clear to you why I feel comfortable recommending these mentors. This is in a case, well, this case will be self-explanatory. This is a letter written to a state senator, and let me suggest that when we get caught up in all of our argument, even though we intend not to argue, we can be, I especially can be pretty sarcastic, firm, and maybe even abusive in some of my letters to government officials. And this letter's a wake-up call because it reminds me of some of the softer writing I used to do, especially in one novel I did years ago, probably the best thing I've ever written. And this letter touched me, and putting myself in the senator's place, it could not help but touch him to the core of his marrow. And it did, and he intervened, perhaps not successfully as yet, but he was certainly brought to the forefront of the issues. Dear Senator, the name, I'm going to change the names here and hope I don't screw it up, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to preserve some privacy for these people. Dear Senator Todd, I wanted to thank you for your near immediate response to Janice and Sylvester Smith, the blind couple. Keep that in mind, the blind couple. We might call this the blind couple defense. It was my hope that someone would care, but I did not expect a senator to respond with near lightning speed as you did. You demonstrated a stellar example of what all public officials should be like, and I am grateful to know there are men like you out there. You see, there is an immediate heavy dose of honey, and yet it's not too thick. It's not contrived. It has the ring of reality. This is a heartfelt letter. And I suggest we need more of this in our communications. I'm holding this letter out for two reasons. Number one, this letter is a classic example of how we might introduce politics when our commercial remedies are delayed and we have an immediate need, such as a foreclosure, repossession, something like that. Now remember, I discussed politics very heavily at the Rocklands seminar. We distributed a database, which is still on that CD, that people can use to send mass numbers of letters. So you involve 50 or 100 politicians and local officials, and you make them responsible for the actions of their subordinates. We took many of Jack and Margie Flynn's methods, and we expanded upon them in that seminar from this perspective. Jack and Margie's methods can work very nicely locally if there's repetition, and if you realize that even though the Constitution's in suspension, public officials sometimes have to pay lip service to it in public, and you can hold their feet to that political fire. No politician, when he receives a letter, can turn around and say to you, well, come on, what are you talking about? Constitution? I can have you arrested at the drop of a hat. What Constitution? What politician's going to state that? So my thought process during Rockland, and I stand by it, is that to use the constitutional method, especially at the federal level, requires a political approach, massive letter writing, and massive influence. And this is the best example of that you will ever hear in your lifetime. And now that I said that, we can go to break and hold all of you folks in suspense. A cliffhanger, folks. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away, my friends. Join me because you are going to love this letter. There is a great lesson here for all of us. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat. And it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Welcome back, my friends. I'm just sitting here having my dessert of hemp and custard. It's very delicious. That said, back to this letter. From speaking with the Smiths and then relaying the tone or sentiment of some of your conversations, I felt it important to clarify a bit, if I may. My notice of misprision to you was not meant to be a threat or in any way directed toward you. My intent was to report a crime to you. Now, folks, if you've attended a law merchant leadership retreat and you stalled on a commercial process and you didn't start a court case and issue a subpoena, you didn't hold an administrative hearing, which is provided for in federal statutes, you didn't issue a notice of misprision, you didn't try and involve a politician, you didn't go to another judge, you didn't file the tax remedies, then you haven't even begun. And that's why notice of misprison. It's very rare a mentor goes to something like that, and that's why I'm reading you this letter and why I've been suggesting that these people would be good as mentors for you. As a legislature, I am sure you know that foreclosure and eviction are two different actions. The Smith case is not a foreclosure case, it is an eviction case, and the judge neglected to examine the evidence before him and ordered a writ of possession in spite of evidence of the redemption and the confession of counsel in open court that she was in receipt of payment. You know, when counsel holds up the promissory note and says, I'm holding the promissory note right here. That, sir, is a crime. I understand that judges are, like many of the rest of us, overworked. But to rule on anything other than the facts and evidence of the case that is presented is outside the scope of his authority and is repugnant to the judicial code of conduct and law itself. How eloquent. A foreclosure case was not brought to him. An eviction case was. The Smiths brought in the evidence of redemption. The counsel for plaintiff confessed to having received it. Counsel for plaintiff did not object to the form or substance of the tender or anything else. And that should have ended the matter in favor of the Smiths. But for some reason, the judge ruled against them. End of paragraph. Isn't that a beautiful opening? It lays out the issues for the judge as clear as day, certainly better than I would have laid them out, which means the issues were crystal clear in the mind's eye of this mentor. It is my understanding from the Smiths that you spoke with counsel for the plaintiff and were told that they did not know how to negotiate the instruments. How many of you have faced that problem? Listen to this mentor's response. Senator, does that seem likely to you? In other words, Senator, they're a damn bank. She goes on to say, the plaintiff deals in hundreds of thousands of negotiable instruments each day, but they are now 9 months and 4 months after receipt of the instruments going to purport to you that they do not know what to do with them? That notwithstanding, why did they not return the instruments to the Smiths? Why did they make no attempt to bring this matter up in the court? The validity of the instruments was never questioned until you contacted them. They know, or have reason to know, that if they find a defect in the tender, they are to return it. They are in commerce and in contract as a business. They have in-house counsel that constructs very elaborate contracts, but they now attempt to tell a senator that they don't know what to do with the instruments? That's like a cattleman saying he has no idea what to do with the cows. They were provided instructions and a pre-addressed envelope to mail the instruments in. If they truly didn't know what to do with the instruments, why did they keep them? Senator, if you sent the check to your electric company for your light bill and they confessed to having the check but did not attempt to negotiate it and there was no defect on the face of the check, would they have standing to sue you for non-payment? Of course not. That appears to be the same situation as the Smiths. It is my understanding, that's the end of the third paragraph, really. It is my understanding that you are expending a great deal of time and effort in getting confirmation of the validity of the instruments. I have no doubt that the instruments are valid, but the point is immaterial now. I am certain that the counsel for plaintiff, the attorney general, or any attorney for that matter, do not have the delegation of authority from the Secretary of the Treasury to determine the validity of the instruments that is required. Thus, all can only garner their opinion. Is that not a critical point, other than the estoppel in these cases? And the question, where is their notice of dishonor from the drawee's bank or the drawer's bank? The point is, nobody that you will consult has a delegation of authority to issue a notice of dishonor. They are parties without standing as far as the validity of the instrument. And that was stated as eloquently as anyone might conjure. She goes on to say, one can only speculate as to what the plaintiff did with the instruments, but one thing is certain, they did not produce a notice of dishonor from the Secretary of the Treasury, and that is the only means by which the validity can be ascertained outside of an obvious defect on the instrument's face. As a legislator who takes part in making the law, well, why don't we pick up with the rest of that after the break, folks. I hope you're enjoying the reading of this letter as much as I am enjoying reading it. For me, it's like observing a fine piece of artwork. This is truly a piece of written artwork for all of us to learn from. Don't go away. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Looked up lately? Have you seen those crisscross trails that hang in the atmosphere long after a plane has passed over? Some are chemtrails, and they may be causing your health problems. It's a fact. Various governments, including the U.S., have been spraying chemicals in our upper atmosphere for years. Chemtrails is a very real cause of many health problems, like pain, respiratory, or immune deficiencies that appear seemingly out of nowhere. But now, your chronic illness can be helped. Introducing ChemBuster. ChemBuster is a natural remedy designed to combat and break through health problems caused by chemtrails. ChemBuster.us has more information and a special internet-only offer of just $17 per bottle. That's ChemBuster.us. Try ChemBuster yourself. Recommend to your sick friends and relatives, and after saving $2 on your first bottle, you'll save an additional $7 on your second bottle. Visit ChemBuster.us for important information and a special internet-only offer. That's ChemBuster.us.
Hey everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Welcome back, my friends. Thank you for sticking with us through the break. So this letter goes on to say, as a legislator who takes part in making the law, that's a great observation, you no doubt must be familiar with the Uniform Commercial Code and know that if there was no defect in the tender and there was no notice of dishonor, the debt is discharged to the amount of the tender. I am sure you are also aware that in the law of contracts, silence is agreement when specified in the contract as such. Redraft of contract, novation, and acquiescence, and the exchange of valuable consideration are, I am sure, not foreign concepts to you. The plaintiff is estopped from bringing up those issues now, and the only matter for the court is eviction. Eviction is not justified in light of redemption. What a wonderful argument. Nonetheless, new paragraph, nonetheless, it is wonderful to see a public official react in the manner you did. None of us know how this will end, but knowing that you made an attempt to look at the situation is very much appreciated. We are a country in crisis right now, and if we do not hold to the traditions of compassion for our fellow man, and helping our neighbor, we will be surrendering an integral part of the American spirit that has been the hallmark of this nation since its birth. Be blessed, kind sir. And then this mentor signed her name. The email address of this mentor is bicstudyclub, all one word, at msn.com. I rest my case. You know, we might look at that letter, folks, as to what it doesn't contain. It doesn't contain any animus. It's gracious. It's warm. It's respectful. It doesn't contain any patriot jargon. You know, we think in patriot terminology, and then, Lord forbid, that terminology winds its way into our documents. And that is an enormous mistake. I wish an example would come to mind. I'll pray to the Lord that maybe one or two do. I see them all the time, but they're not ringing any bells at the moment. But I'm sure you know what I mean. The paper is riddled with things from the very top where it says, notice the agent is, notice the principal, and vice versa, and into all the other slogans that we put in there and the sayings that we put in there and sometimes the veiled threats that we put in there. Now, that said, am I bringing some hard-nosed technology and hard-nosed letters to the Law Merchant Leadership Retreat? You bet. In fact, I read an excerpt, as I recall, excuse me, when I think back to it, and I think back to the contrast to this letter, I find it quite amusing, if not ironic. But you may recall that letter that I read. It was to a congressman, and it was about as hard-nosed as it gets. And when you do that, you better have a good reason. In that case, that letter is written to be a follow-up to a cordial letter like this. And then if the responses aren't favorable, then we have the opportunity to provide a somewhat less cordial invitation into Congress by which the senator or the congressman can help us with our remedies. In fact, let me show you the contrast. Maybe I can dig it up. If my speech sounds a little odd, it's because I'm looking for computer files right now desperately to try and find this without tipping my hand on the air. Okay, here it is. However, there are about 10 letters in here. Let's see if we can isolate it. Give me just 1 second, folks. And then we're going to go to the phones right after this. But I do think this is worth doing. I do think you're going to find this pretty enjoyable. Here it is. This is the final paragraph to the letter. I must give you this warning. Please take the children from the room. Sit with both feet on the floor. And all seat belts must be, what do they say on the plane? All seat belts must be attached. And here we go. Congressman, I suggest you may wish to resist the temptation for levity or intimidation tactics. I'd say that's a little less cordial than that other letter, don't you folks? The liability is as real as your office. Now, you might say that's a little bit of patriotism, but it's really sarcastic. And it's sort of letting him know in a creative way that we are well aware that his office is fictitious. The funny thing is, the state senator has no idea he's operating as a legal fiction, so that might even be wasted on him. And it goes on to say, any unverified third-party response or frivolous mischief will be certified as a conversion of liability to you and the offenders and the other offenders for immediate collection, meaning that this letter has been bonded and he has received a promissory note or a bond along the way. I'm not a politician, Congressman. I actually mean what I say. Whoa, that is nasty. I only provide my public servants one opportunity for salvation, and then it's, quote, let me introduce you to Spiro Agnew, unquote. Now, for those of you who don't remember Spiro Agnew, he was taken down by the Internal Revenue Service. So this is a follow-up letter. This is some of the technology we're introducing. If they fail to execute on our tax remedies. Now, this is DEFCON 5 at this point, of course, if everything else has failed. But these are some of the kinds of materials at our disposal. So you'll have a contrast. Soft and sweet, which is definitely the way to begin the political arena, or to enter the political arena, and hard-bitten as nails. This hard-bitten one goes on to say, I love to issue warrants for the arrest of public bonds, at least as much as your guys love to detain legal fictions. But as a Christian, I genuinely hope, excuse me, you address this matter by deadline so I don't have to add you to the list of public policy has-beens. These are, after all, your rules. Look at it this way, Congressman. This is your opportunity to really make a difference to your constituency by paying the liability out of your own bond, if you so choose. In my book, it's a pretty good day when you can taste your own devil's food cake and return to the fundraiser without a crumb on your face. Opportune request for additional time will be considered with all due respect and reserving all rights. And then we sign it as a living man. So, let me suggest that the kindly way is the appropriate way that we might wish to start letters. Now, if there's a history, of course, if you have a history of judges ignoring what you do, then the tendency might be there to open up with a letter that says, Dear Sir, here is copy B of the 1099 OID report of your, of the court's tax, reportable tax liability in the amount of $5 million made this day to the Internal Revenue Service, pursuant to your offer to expand funds and the public policy in case in fiction number such and such. It's not hard-boiled. It's not soft-boiled. It's just boiled. It's just the facts as they stand. But there's no mistaking that the 1099 OID is intended to deliver a message. The court is holding the liability and now needs to post it to the books so that IRS and Treasury get paid instead of having to seize it from your bond. And that's what we add to all of these letters later on, a little statement that says, if you personally fail to post the payment, in other words, if you act in malfeasance, if you misappropriate the funds, if you steal the funds in the special maritime jurisdiction, in a nutshell, if you fail to post the funds to the correct account in fiction timely, then a corrected 1099 OID will be issued of your personal tax liability in the amount of $5 million or whatever the promissory note or bond was for. So now they're coming for that of your bond since you refused to post it to the correct account. That's commerce in action. Let's go to the phones, folks. Shelton in Arizona, welcome to the program.
It was great letters. I appreciate it.
Yeah, wasn't that a wonderful letter? Don't thank me. Thank,
it was wonderful.
Thank. Let me repeat that email address again, if I may. That is at, sorry for taking so long here, folks, BIC Study Club at MSN.com. So, Arizona's still there. It hasn't been nuked.
Yeah, we're still here, luckily. Thank God.
Well, what can I do for you, Shelton?
Well,
thank you for joining us.
I had a, I sold a vehicle, and the guy sent a check to me via online. I got the check. It was a Chase Bank, whatever.
And a check 21.
Yes.
Yes, and electronic check. Yeah.
Well, it actually says on this check, it's weird, it says, this is a legal copy of your check. You can use it the same way as you use the original.
Yeah.
It says it right on the front of the check.
Well, let me tell you, I know a bank that does. What bank issued that check? What bank did it issue? Bank of America. Let me tell you a story.
The original check came from Chase.
Yeah, let me tell you a story. I paid a check, actually it wasn't me, I'm trying to recall the situation entirely. This actually was a church that issued a check that I was working with. And the check went to a vendor, and the vendor cashed it. And then the check cleared, and then the bank sent the vendor a check 21 noted NSF. They issued a check 21, a copy of the check, put it through to the church's bank, the maker's bank, and it bounced because they kept the account very close. They sent that copy of that check as an NSF check, as you know, which is a crime in every state, to the vendor, and the vendor got all upset and put a hold on the church's account and threatened to hold a lien sale on some property they were holding. Imagine that. The church's banker called the vendor and said, hey, look, I'm sitting here with a statement of account that the check cleared. I'm sitting here with the canceled check that cleared. You have a copy of a check that a bank inappropriately issued, and you need to contact your bank and clear this up. And they resisted, so the banker, the church's banker, called the offending bank, Key Bank, which the church's banker stated to the church, this is not the first time we've had this, let me guess, it was Key Bank that did it. And that's correct. Key Bank has a habit of reissuing checks a second time. So the bank was contacted, and they refused to correct the error, despite the fact that they were faxed a copy of the canceled check and a copy of the statement of account that the check had cleared. They refused to cancel it. So I intervened and I put together a suspicious activity report and forwarded it to the bank, and they still refused. They forwarded it on to house counsel for the bank. Finally, papers were secured from the Fed indicating that the transaction had occurred twice, and then they cleared it. What should have happened was that a local constable should have arrested the manager of that bank for issuing a fraudulent document. But let me suggest, Shelton, if you do anything with that second check, the bank will certainly come after you with criminal charges, even though we don't go after them with criminal charges. So be wary.
So if it says I can actually on the check, it's like, it looks like it has its own routing number on it.
Right.
So it's like it's checking within a check. And it says,
yeah,
you can use this as a regular check. And it says that they'll offer me a refund if I, and all this stuff. See, the issue was,
well, that might be a smart way to do it, is to return it to the bank and ask them to cash it. Take it into a branch of their bank and cash it.
Yeah, so I was thinking, but see, the issue was it says return reason, stop payment. But I already had it in my check, and I was drawing funds out of it. I mean, it put me in a jacked-up position.
It sounds like exactly the same thing that happened to this church, that they reissued the check a second time. That's a felony, and the banks are doing it. The banks are cleaning up on check 21 duplicates that have been issued, and the only time it comes to fruition is if the second check bounces or someone picks it up on their bank statement. But a lot of people don't balance their bank statements. And so the banks
are...
I'm sorry?
So the bank stole the money from me.
That's exactly right. The bank stole the money from your account. You could take that up with the FBI and put an end to it and champion this cause. That's exactly what's happening. You could take it up with the Attorney General. Send the Attorney General a letter that we have a fraudulent instrument issued on a bank account. It was issued twice, and it's my understanding that this bank has been doing that numerous times. It needs to be corrected and see what happens. This
so
might be. Sometimes it pays to let the public police the public.
Oh, I see. So the funds actually left his account because he authorized it.
Well,
the online check went to my house. And,
yeah,
and the check is signed by, it says authorized signature. It's somebody within the bank.
That's
he
correct.
Didn't actually sign it because
yeah,
of the
we don't have to be. We don't have to belabor the point. The bank issued a check against your account, and it may not even be your bank that did it. It may be another bank that did it. We're, as I said, we're seeing this multiple times. Another opportunity, of course, is to make it payable to Treasury and ship it on with a 1099 OID and request a refund on it. So, Shelton, thanks for calling. Good luck with it.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
Gaylene in California. Welcome, Gaylene. Welcome,
Gaylene. Yes, hello, Sam. How are you?
Very good. How are you, Gaylene?
I'm doing great, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at the end of the month.
Oh, Gaylene, we weren't supposed to tell people.
Oh. Well, I'm going to be there, and I'm looking forward to finalizing a lot of these procedures.
Very good. Well, Gaylene, let me ask you to pause for a moment. I hear music in the background. We're going to a break, then we'll be back for a short segment. So please don't go away. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Please don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hello, this is Tom with HempUSA.org. Most of you have been hearing my ads for the past few months, and it's no secret that the economy is failing and prices are rising in all sectors. If you've been thinking of a nutrient-dense daily food source and a storable food for yourself and family, the time to act is now. At HempUSA.org, we still believe that food will be your greatest asset in these trying times ahead. Please call 1-908-691-2608 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Beware, be smart, and be ready. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org. Families need this high-quality natural food source for its low price and long storage shelf life. This incredible food source should be a staple part of your diet every day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Welcome back, my friend. Welcome back. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Let me just repeat what I mentioned at the beginning of the program, that we are in the process of scheduling a second Law Merchant Leadership Retreat, probably sometime in June. We haven't put applications or any of the support materials together. We will have those hopefully the final week of April. So I'll ask you to hold any requests for them so we don't clog up the email accounts and so we all don't have heart attacks. We're working very, very hard at all of this. and then the positions will become available. And I'll presume, like this one in April, that the seats will be gone within a few weeks after we open up the process. So keep that in mind. And those of you who are facing difficult situations, this is really a wonderful opportunity to use the intervening couple of months to study. Order some of Winston's CDs. We have Rockland and Collecting in Bankruptcy, and you have all of the archive programs. By the way, I'm pleased to announce that the archives are up and running. Now, if you get to the archives and you say, where's 2007? Well, look at the links up above, because now there are two different historical archives with different links. Everything before 2008, as well as, I believe, most of January of 2008 in one archive, and then the current archives thereafter. So anyway, Gaylene, how's California?
California is nice and warm, and I'm needing some advice from you.
Well, advice I don't have, but I can certainly
listen. You can tell me what you might do in a situation.
Your question is, and tell you what I'm going to do, right.
Okay. My parents, in their 70s and 80s, have had some things going on behind their back on one of their rental properties, and we just got a really nice surprise in the mail Friday saying that one piece of property that was sold out from underneath them behind their back by forging their signatures on a deed, the title company that was completely in charge and involved in all this has executed received from the court a writ of execution. We got notice of this Friday. I'm in the process of getting some things done. In the meantime, since summertime, learning some of your materials, I've been studying on commercial liens, and as you know, it can be quite involved when you're dealing with property and anything else, so I'm wanting to make sure that I'm quite well-versed and know it and own it before I start sending off and filing some things. In the meantime, we received this Friday that there is a writ of execution. Now, keep in mind, this is not a foreclosure. My parents were never behind on the payments of this. It was their signatures fraudulently put on a deed that the title company, which the title company accepted, even though the notary never existed in California and the stamp was very obviously altered, blah, blah, blah. So, now here we are.
Well, I do have some thoughts on that. That music means, though, we're heading to break, and then we'll have a long segment.
Okay.
This might be a good case where the public should take care of the public. I remember some of the details from our previous discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we address that, folks, when we come back? What can we do when a signature is forged on a document? And we'll discuss that after a one-minute station identification. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay with us, folks.
Once upon